before their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past.
With Eric Dallinger.
And Carly Anna Billings.
Each week we hop in our time machine and take a look at the past of pop culture.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. Yes, I, Eric Dallinger, am doing the intro again.
Yes!
It is my usual thing.
It's back to the normal days.
And Carly never does it.
That's right. I felt weird doing it last time. Eric does it the best.
I mean, Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. And I am, of course, joined by my lovely co-host, the beautiful Carly Anna Billings.
That's me. I keep interrupting. It's my fault. Hello.
Yeah. Let me get your introduction in, Carly.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so excited because we have a guest today.
What? We have a guest?
What do you mean? I'm not sure. Do we?
He kind of looks a little bit like me.
I know. It's almost like seeing double in a way. But also
almost.
Not. But also not, because I very much know you both as separate people.
Yeah. Yes. If you didn't guess it by the description in your podcast provider or
yes,
the
right.
Instagram picture,
mm-hmm.
I am here with the only brother I have.
That's right.
I'm here with
the
Al.
Only,
yes.
The only one. The one. The only.
The one, the only, Alex Dallinger is here.
Yes.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be on, I guess. I don't know.
You can tell he's so excited to be on the pod.
Truly.
Thanks for being here, Alex. We're excited to have you.
No problem. It's a topic I'm mildly interested in, so.
Do you hear that excitement? Mildly interested in.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much the most you'll get from me in terms of enthusiasm.
Love
if
it.
People didn't know, me and my brother are very much opposite people. I'll ask a couple questions. Eric, do you like pop culture? Yes. Alex, do you like pop culture?
No, not really.
Eric, do you like dance? Yes, I do. Alex, do you like dance?
No, I would prefer not to move.
Eric, do you like video games? Ah, take them or leave them. I like The Sims. That's about it.
Yeah, it's probably one of my core hobbies.
Yeah, and if there was a country where you really liked music from, Eric, what country would that be? It would be Korea. Alex, what country do you tend to take your music from?
A lot of my stuff is from Japanese media, so yeah, Japan.
Yeah, we make jokes that we don't even agree on where we get our Asian music from.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'd like to start off this podcast by asking you, Alex, one really important fundamental question. Why do you hate Drag Race?
I just kind of find it... I don't know, it's kind of just a loud, annoying show. I'm sure, like, there's some entertainment value that some people like, but I'm not into it.
You just alienated our whole pod.
I mean, Alex, that's a perfect read of that show, though. It is loud and annoying, Eric, just like we are. So that's why we enjoy it.
We feel seen when we watch
we
the show.
We feel seen and represented.
Alex, tell us about yourself. Tell us, besides the little quick interview I did to myself and you, tell us a few quick facts.
I'm a pretty cool person. I like video games and anime, which is what this topic is kind of on. So that's why I'm on this
Ooh,
one.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That is why we invited you on this pod, because today we are talking about not one, but two very influential
what?
Media franchises.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I hail from the land of the rising sun.
That's right.
Carly, I just have to mention it, and you can leave this in the pod. There's like a 2-second delay from your video to
oh,
your audio
there?
On the Zoom. So
oh, okay.
I see you talking and nothing comes out, and then
it comes through.
Your voice pops through. But leave that in. Let the
cool.
viewers know. For the listeners, just so you know, me and Alex are in the same space, but Carly is
That's
in a
right.
separate space, which is very yeah. different from our usual setup with guests.
Mm-hmm.
Usually me and Carly are together and our guests are separate.
Well, yeah.
At least recently.
That's what happens when two of us live in the same house.
Alex, don't expose me like that I live at home.
Sorry, too bad it's already
oh,
done.
Oh my goodness. Exposed.
Well, before we get to our topic, Alex, me and Carly, we gas up our time machines to to the way back. Sorry, you, Carly, that's your line. Always, you always say it.
No, you go for it. It's you take the wheel today, baby. I'm letting you have it. Give it to him.
All right. Well, we like to go back to the way back by gassing up our time machines and talking for 5 minutes about current pop culture. And you might
might
know what we're going to talk about briefly in this 5 minutes, okay? So I'm going to set my timer up right now. And then we are going to do it. Here we go.
Woo!
5 minutes on the clock. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So I would like to briefly touch upon how Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, so of course, with all the streaming going on, the Black Widow movie was released on both Disney Plus and in theaters on the same day. Now, in ScarJo's contract, she has stated, it said that if in the box office it makes a certain amount of money, she gets like something like a $50 million bonus. That might be too much. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
But a big old bonus.
And because they've released it in two forms of media at the same time, it's really limited the box office numbers, and therefore it has not made that amount of money, and therefore ScarJo is none too pleased and is suing Disney over this.
That's
to be expected. I mean, there's a lot of money on the line there. Whether or not anyone there needs that money, that's up for debate. But
I know it's like on the surface, we're seeing rich celebrities go after rich corporations and rich corporations getting mad at rich celebrities. And you're like, why does any of this matter? But it is a principle of it. You know, if they say that they're going to do something and then all of a sudden the plans change, the contracts need to be renegotiated, and they weren't. So I actually do see Scarlett Johansson's point in it. Yes, it is a rich person getting mad at other rich people, and that seems weird, but you know, there is some merit to the argument for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely like it as a whole. I agree with Scarlett on this one, but I really don't actually care who wins because it's just that's what it is. But if I had to choose one, I would choose Scarlett Johansson to win that legal debate.
For sure. Totally. For sure.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's really any stakes in it because it's just rich people against rich people. But like you said, Eric, it is a principle thing. It is to like not take advantage of workers. It is like to for like, I guess, fair wages. Although, of course, you know, the ultra rich, that's never fair. But yeah, it's neat.
Yeah,
though.
I think
it's interesting. I'm sure it'll set some kind of precedence probably moving forward.
Yeah,
which is great.
I think it's also just an interesting topic about streaming in movies, because basically the streaming wars have taken away revenue of DVD sales, but up until now we haven't seen like the box office really be taken advantage of by the streaming systems, but now they are because of the pandemic, because of COVID-19. These streaming services and these theaters, movie companies, they had to pivot and they went into the streaming option. But like music, right? CDs have become obsolete, and that's basically why music has been devalued. We're now seeing that same thing kind of happen in movies. And Scarlett Johansson has called out Disney by basically saying, you kind of are using, now that the pandemic is more over for the most part and theaters are opening up, you're using this as an excuse to put it on Disney Plus just to get more subscriptions, especially now that the Disney Plus subscription has recently gone up. Thoughts and opinions?
I don't know. That sounds about right. Streaming is big. I'm not surprised that Disney wants to do this, especially now that a lot of people are still probably scared to go to a movie theater.
Yeah, I agree.
From like an accessibility standpoint, it doesn't bother me that it's like available online. It's better that it's available to a wider audience of people, especially people who can't maybe access a movie theater right now. But like, whatever.
Like, yeah, but
theatrical
but
release,
still,
online release. Yeah.
They're still charging extra. You have to have Disney Premium Plus in order to get it. Like, you have to have that extra feature.
That's true. Yeah, and then just don't buy that, period.
Yeah.
That's what,
but
I
then
don't have the extra feature.
Scarlett Johansson is not, like, those numbers I don't think are being worked into the box office numbers to give Scarlett Johansson her bonus.
Yeah,
right.
There definitely should be some, like, rejigging of contracts in order to make everything fair and both parties agree before you do that. But I can definitely see why Disney wants to do that. It makes complete sense to.
Disney, when you think it's all magic, it's an evil corporation.
Oh, and there's our time. Perfect timing.
There's our time. All right. Well, we are now safely in the past.
Where we like to be.
We are in the late 90s. We are in the early aughts. And there is two feuding franchises going head to head for children's consumerism. And they are Pokemon and Digimon.
That's right, baby. That's right.
Yeah. Today's topic is, this episode's going to be a little bit different because we are both talking about the movies of these two amazing franchises, Pokemon and Digimon. Pokemon the movie, the first movie, that is literally the subtitle on it, Pokemon the first
Pokemon
movie.
Pokemon the first movie.
And Digimon the movie. And we did it a little bit different. Carly's going to take Pokemon the first movie, and I, Eric, am going to take Digimon the movie. And our good friend Alex here is going to fact check us the whole time because he knows way more about this stuff than either of us.
Yeah, no, I'm still kind of a fan of both of these franchises and follow them fairly actively.
Oh, me too. I recently watched Indigo League and Alola League of the anime of Pokemon.
Yeah. No, I've seen you watch it.
Alex, just because I hand you the mic doesn't mean you have to talk.
It makes me feel like I have to.
I'm sorry. It's just because I don't want you to, like, talk with the mic in front of my mouth.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I get it. It's weird when you put a mic in my face. I feel like I need to speak.
Brotherly love over here.
Brotherly love, big time.
All right, well, Miss Carly, because the Pokemon movie came out first, why don't we start with the Pokemon movie?
Oh, sure, let's just jump on in. So, Pokemon the first movie, as Eric said, that's the title. It's Pokemon the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. It's a lot. Is a 1998 Japanese anime movie. Kunaiko Yuyama, was the director and was the chief director of the animated TV series on which this movie is based. And the movie was released July 18th, 1998 in Japan. Then the English adaptation produced by Nintendo and 4Kids Entertainment and then licensed by Warner Brothers was released to North American audiences on November 19th, 1999. So there's like over a year difference between, you know, the different releases. But it's super fun. During its initial theatrical run, it made $163 million worldwide and was the highest grossing anime film in the US and the fourth highest grossing animated film based on a TV show worldwide at the time. Big freaking deal.
Yeah, it was made for $5 million.
Yeah, it's like peanuts.
They made something like, $172.7 million, I'm reading. So that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. The first number I just gave was solely on the theatrical run, not factoring in any other, you know, aspects of the movie, because this is a huge, whopping franchise. A good example of, like, how big this movie was is it happened when Pokemania was at its peak. Some people were super obsessed with Pokemon, and the movie took North American audiences by storm. In 1999, right before the movie was released, fans called in to Warner Brothers to get tickets to the premiere, and they crashed their landline communications, because again, it's 1999. At one point, the studio was receiving 70,000 calls a minute of people trying to get tickets to the premiere of this movie. Their voicemail systems crashed, and they also shut down communications at NBC and Disney because of the amount of calls they were getting. Like, this was a big, like, astronomical deal. Like, it was, like, the thing. And I remember, like, being young, and, like, I liked it, but I also think I liked it because everyone liked it, you know?
Yeah, no, I loved the Pokemon franchise as a whole. I remember for Christmas one year, me and Alex got both Yellow and Silver of the video games, and we had a VHS of the one where it's Pikachu versus Raichu, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, from the TV show. Okay, I was thinking of what movie does Pikachu fight Raichu, but the episode where he beats Lieutenant Surge and gets the gym badge.
Yeah, and it was before we really were watching Pokemon, so we didn't realize that Raichu was a separate Pokemon, so we were like, it's two Pikachus! We didn't understand that Pikachu was, like, a species.
Yeah, no, that would be... Well, we were dumb kids, so that's to be expected.
Also, our dog's name is Riley
kids
because...
Kids don't know.
Our dog's name is Riley because we wanted to name our dog Raichu.
Yeah, we always had good taste. Raichu's better than Pikachu, so...
I did recently evolve my Pikachu on my Pokemon Red into a Raichu, so just saying.
So there you go. Okay. Stepping up in the world.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Do you want me to go through the whole movie and then you go into Digimon, or do you want to...
Yeah, no, let's not jump back and forth. Let's just do...
Okay.
Let's do Ghosts Are Everywhere style and leave that in the pod.
Love that. Ooh!
Carly has funny. A second podcast called Ghosts Are Everywhere.
I see.
Do you have comments on her other podcast, Alex?
As I don't know what it's about outside of, I guess, maybe supernatural phenomenon?
Phenomenon.
What a good guesser.
Well, it was
phenomenon.
Kind of obvious from the title, but yeah.
I get the sense that Alex feels like I'm putting him on the spot, but it's because of our mics.
He's shoving a microphone in his face.
It's our mic situation. I can't help it.
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, brothers. Okay, so back to Pokemon. Back to Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, specifically, because this mouthful is what I'm talking about. There were two versions of the movie. There was the original Japanese version, and then later on, a year later, released to the English-speaking audience, an English version. So the English version saw many changes from the original Japanese, including an addition of a prologue, fixing, or some people say not, of certain plot holes, and the replacement of some animated scenes for new, like, different animation, for new CGI graphics. And one of the plot additions was that early on in the movie, they mentioned that Pokemon might have magical tears, which kind of explains a bit to like, the very end of the movie. Spoiler, if you haven't seen the movie, you're going to get it spoiled. You know, when Ash turns to stone and then Pikachu cries on him and he comes back. Or, like, comes not, you know, he comes back from being stone. That in the original Japanese, it didn't really have any explanation why that happened. It's just because Pikachu cried and then it happened. But in the English version, they kind of were like, yeah, that's kind of a thing we know, to try to set it up a bit better. And at the end, for the big fight, they also explained that Mewtwo, to even out the fighting and prevent the other Pokemon from using their special attacks or special abilities, that he used his powers to block them, essentially, so that he could even out the fighting. Whereas in the original, they just kind of, like, didn't address it at all. The movie also introduced new Gen 2 Pokemon, like Snubbull, and new Gen 2 moves like Mewtwo's Shadow Ball, among others. So it moved the franchise and the story forward, as well as, like, bringing in some things that had kind of been hovering around, like different characters like Mewtwo and Mew, because they had been, though to, like, North American audiences, they hadn't really been introduced yet, because they were going to be introduced in the TV show before the movies came out, but they weren't because of the scheduling, the way that scheduling ended up working out. But they also appeared in the intros to both the Japanese TV show and the English TV show they appeared in like the first, like the
And you know those chords, but and then you see
that's right.
Mewtwo and Mew, yes. And they're like blue and pink, mm-hmm. and they go, I wanna be the very best.
Like no, yeah, exactly.
That no one ever was. Now, Alex, you're a huge player of the video games. Do you want to explain sort of the plots of maybe the games and how they kind of tie in a little bit to the movie?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so these movies were around like the Red and Blue era and going into like the Gold and Silver. Mm-hmm. Red and Blue is really sparse on its plot. Like, it doesn't have much. It's basically just Team Rocket is bad and you stop them from doing various crimes throughout the game. I believe in the Pokey Mansion, you can find, like, documents that talk about the creation of Mewtwo, but it's never explicitly told you in just, like, the main, I guess, campaign of the game.
Yeah, so, yeah, because I've recently replayed Red, and, yeah, in the Pokey Mansion, there's these journal entries that you can read, and it's like, June 24th. Mew gives birth to Mewtwo and stuff like that. And sort of this movie is largely based off of that sort of subplot within the Pokemon video game world. And of course, there is little hints to it in the anime. Like, I believe at one point Mewtwo in the anime is working with Giovanni, and he like blasts off of like into the gym, and you just see it, but you don't know who Mewtwo is at this point within the anime. And this sort of the movie allows you to come full circle and realize sort of who that was within the anime series.
Yeah, that sounds about right. In the games, Mewtwo, outside of those documents, he's just in a cave that you can go to after you beat the Elite Four. And then you throw your Master Ball at him and realize your box is full and you get very upset.
I threw my Master Ball at Articuno, so I might be screwed there. I haven't made it there yet.
Well, good luck. He's like the hardest thing to catch in that game.
Yeah, isn't he called the Cerulean Monster at first when you like talk to the guy outside the cave? Sorry, we're geeking out over here.
It's beautiful. I love to watch it. The only times I ever got to play the games as a kid was when I stole my cousin's Game Boys. Because my Game Boy, I didn't have the game myself. So I love it. This is really informing all of my past gameplay.
That's unfortunate. You should give them a shot. They're still good, generally speaking.
It's really sad. I think I will.
Do you want to touch on the prologue a little bit that got cut?
Sure. I didn't write a lot about it. Do you want to talk about it?
Do you know about it, Alex? The cut prologue? Maybe I'm like exposing my nerdiness that I know about this, but...
Is that the thing with, like, the AI and the other cloned Pokemon that die or something? Yeah, I read about that briefly in my wiki dive on this. But I don't remember, like, it was cut, obviously, so I don't remember too much about it. You probably know more.
Yeah, so at the start of, in the original Japanese version of the film, it started with a prologue where Dr. Fuji is hired by Giovanni, the leader of Team Rocket, to clone Pokemon. And so they clone a Squirtle, a Bulbasaur, and a Charmander, as well as Mewtwo, and they all share like a sort of like a telekinetic link to each other. So they all like they're all just in test tubes, but they can all think together. And of course, the whole kind of plot too is that Dr. Fuji's daughter Amber has died, and he's cloned her as well. So there's an Amber too. So there's a Mewtwo, an Amber too. A Charmander too, so on and so forth, and they all share a telekinetic link, and they sort of go on adventures in their brain, but eventually you see the Bulbasaur and the Charmander and the Squirtle, they start to fade out because they've died. Their cloning didn't take, and so it's just Mewtwo and Amber 2 left, and then eventually Amber 2 fades out of existence as well. And it was deemed that this opening to the Pokemon movie was too sad for American audiences, and that it was a children's show, and this would make children upset to see a child die. But it informs why Mewtwo is so upset and so mad throughout the whole series, because the only other creatures he's known his whole life, these clones, all died because they were failed experiments. I learned that in a film theory by Matt Pack, And Alex hates him. Right? You hate Matt Pack?
Love it.
I find his videos very annoying, yes.
Eventually, it would be released as like a separate thing, I believe, on a DVD of this film. But in the theatrical run, it was not included.
And it would explain, too, why in Japan it received positive, like the movie received positive reviews, especially because it explored ethical topics like cloning, genetic modification, and existentialism. But the English version, like you said, didn't have any of that. And so it had most, well, not any of that. It didn't have most of that. And it had mostly negative reviews, citing things like the poor voice acting and the anti-violence message at the end, which I don't really understand because, I mean, it's a movie for kids, but I guess people were like, it leads up to nothing. And also, the English version received criticism for removing much of the ethical topics. And, Mewtwo's origin story.
For sure. Any thoughts on this movie growing up, Alex?
I mean, I liked it as a kid. I honestly haven't thought about it for years before you mentioned that you wanted me on this podcast to discuss it. But actually, so you said it was 4Kids that did the English version of this?
Yeah, it was Nintendo and 4Kids, and I think distributed by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, 4Kids is pretty notorious for dumbing down anime for American children when they really didn't need to. For the most part, they underestimated children, I think.
Going a little bit back to this prologue, there is, however, a prologue that was included called Pikachu's Vacation that was part of the runtime, and it was this cute little short film at the start of the movie in which Pikachu goes on a little vacation. He gets bullied by Raichu and Cubone, and it's very, very cute.
Yeah, that was there. I honestly forgot about that. A lot of the Pokemon movies open with like a little cutesy thing. I know that's a thing in a number of them.
Do you want to know a cool little fact that I've just found out? Is that, of course, most of the English to Japanese voice actors are different, but they use the same voice actors for all the Pokemon that say their name. And they go, Pika! That's you're hearing the same Japanese Pika as the English Pika. They don't redo those.
You're hearing the same bits. Love it.
Well, there's not much reason to change it. It works perfectly fine either way. Outside of looking at this, like Squirtle has a different voice actor in English.
Okay, first off, call me on the silly thing about it, and then tell me on top of it that I'm wrong.
Deal with it, I guess.
All right, thanks, Alex. Always putting me in my place.
Also, in select theaters, this was my favorite thing. They gave away trading cards, like, for people who saw the movie. They're like, here's a special Pokemon card for you for coming to see the movie. And the thing I remember most as a kid was when I got the VHS tape for Christmas, they also had a card inside them. And I remember specifically getting a Mewtwo, which I stupidly traded away in grade 5 for 2 energies because a boy convinced me to. And I was like, oh, okay, let me put my hair behind my ear and agree to just trade you. It made me very mad. I'm still mad.
We also had that. We also had a Mewtwo card from this movie. It was the like special one that was written in like runes and stuff instead of normal language, right?
I think that was a Mew, and I think they gave out Mew at the theaters and Mewtwo in VHSs. But I was wondering what your opinions were on Carly trading a Mewtwo for 2 energies. What a loser!
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because...
still mad at myself.
That Mewtwo's probably collectible, and it's probably worth something decent right now.
Read her to filth, Alex. Read her to filth.
Read me to filth, Alex. Well, I deserve it. Grade 5 me doesn't even know.
All kids are stupid and have made terrible card trades. I know I did as a kid. Primarily more with Yu-Gi-Oh cards than Pokemon, but...
Why are you being nice? You read me all the time. Read her!
He's so nice.
It's far funnier this way.
He's making me mad by being nice.
He just likes seeing you mad.
Yeah,
Eric.
That's it. Like, he's getting the sick pleasure of him not giving me what I want, which is to read you to filth.
Exactly. Also, I distinctly remember this other thing was they had a huge Burger King campaign. Do you guys remember this?
Mm-hmm.
They had a huge Burger King campaign where they released a series of toys and like also like cards, but not like the regular like playing cards. They have their own version of them, which kids were collecting as well. And they also apparently had, they promoted 3 23-karat gold cards, which I guess you could get at, instead of like these like regular cardboard cards, you might be able to get one of these special cards. And they all had a certificate of authenticity signed by the chairman of Nintendo. So it was like a big deal. Big deal
yeah,
time.
Yeah, they also had ones that were not like 24-karat, but like were like gold-plated, like fake gold-plated
yeah,
or something.
Because like
we had them.
Regular.
I had a Poliwhirl and mm-hmm. you had a Pikachu because
yeah.
Grandpa got it for us.
Yeah, no, I distinctly remember the like gold Pokemon cards we had that came in. They came in like a Pokeball, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I kept pushpins
yeah.
in that Pokeball and I lost the cool. card like really soon. But I still had the Pokeball for quite a while.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate. I wish
funny.
I still had that, actually.
They also redid this movie, eh?
They did, yeah. Has anyone seen it? That's my question.
No, but it is on Netflix, and I would like to watch it just for nostalgia's sake. It's like a full CGI version of Mewtwo
yeah.
Strikes Back. It's called Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution.
Mewtwo Strikes Back again, again.
Look who's back, 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 back again, again, again. That's actually like a good reference for the time era, too.
That is.
Eminem.
That's actually true. Nice.
Yes, Pokemon.
That's Pokemon, baby.
Are we ready to move on to Digimon, or do you...
Let's do it!
Okay, here we go.
I think we hit all the important parts.
Yes. Okay, so this one is really... This has some buffoonery, as...
Come on, buffoonery.
As Alyssa Edwards would once say. I think it was Alyssa that said that.
Back rolls.
Back rolls.
Back rolls.
All right, so...
Beast!
Basically, just a year and a bit later... Fox was very, they were very excited about the Pokemon movie, even though it wasn't theirs. They were like,
totally.
We
yeah.
need one of these. They made so much money.
Well, yeah.
They were like, we've got to do our version.
They were like, look at the market. The market is
but
here.
But they, of course, yeah. they didn't own Pokemon, so how are they going to do this? No, they owned
nope.
Pokemon's rival, Digimon. Now, I would like to say that, in actual fact, Digimon is way closer to, like, Tamagotchi than it is really to Pokemon. It's a different franchise.
Sure.
It's a different whole lore. Very different. But on the surface, on face value, they are very the same, and they have similar names. Digimon, Pokemon, they rhyme, you know.
Yeah. They're like, they're for kids. Kids will like it. Yes.
Like. Yeah. So they were like, we are going to do this movie. So eventually they would release the movie October 6th, 2000. And it didn't do so well at the theaters as Pokemon, but it did all right. It had a budget of $5 million. And at the box office, it would make $16 million. So a moderate success. It made its money. It didn't make hundreds
yeah.
of million like Pokemon did.
It wasn't Pokemon money, but it was still money.
Still
money.
You know? But part of this, too, is because whereas Pokemon had an established feature-length Japanese movie that they could literally just redub,
mm-hmm.
make a few little edits for American audiences, the Digimon franchise did not have this. So they were like, what are we going to do? While Pokemon had feature-length movies, Digimon had... two short films and a made-for-TV two-part special. And they decided that they were going to string these three different films into a single movie.
So brilliant. All good ideas start like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all great ideas.
They start with, we have three things, let's put them together. We've already done it, but let's do it again the same, but all together.
Yes. The movie was made up of these three films. It was called Digimon Adventure, which in Japanese was released in 1999, the spring of 1999. Digimon Adventure, Our War Game, which was released in the spring of 2000. And then Digimon Adventure 02, Digimon Hurricane Landing, which was part one. And then Transcendent Evolution, The Golden Digimentals. In 2000.
Ooh,
those were released in the summer.
Oh, watch
yeah,
out.
Yeah, those were, of course, released in the summer of 2000. Now, Toei, which is the company that produces Digimon, they would have these short film festivals in the spring and in the summer. And what would happen, that's why they're only 20 minutes, because they would be double features with other Toei IPs, so that's why they never put out a full a full feature-length movie. However, when
they didn't have to.
Now, when 20th Century Fox decided that they wanted to do the Digimon movie and string these together, they were like, well, the creatives originally, all they wanted to do was do the original Digimon Adventure and Digimon Adventure R War game, and they would put these two films together, and they would do very little editing to them. They would just redub them for English. But the execs at Fox decided, no, no, this is not a good idea. This is not enough. This is not going to get the kids excited, because, of course, Digimon O2 had just released in the television series. Digimon O2 had just released in America. So they're like, we need to include these two other films so that we get the kids excited for the new characters. And therefore, they had to edit the final... they had to edit up to 40 minutes out of all three of these projects, with the majority of it being edited out of Digimon O2, Digimon Hurricane Landing, and Transcendent Evolution. It went from a 65-minute two-parter to a 30-minute movie.
That's so much. That's, I don't even have words. Wow. Yep. Too much editing. There's something said.
Also, I remember being in the theater kind of disappointed in the first Digimon, the first 20-minute feature, because it actually released one day before Digimon the television show premiered, because it's actually a prequel to the whole Digimon television show. So it wasn't new information as a viewer watching it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All of these, like, individual things are decent. Our war game in particular is good. But stringing them all together was not a great idea. And that beginning section is really pointless if you know anything about Digimon. Like, it's just a waste of 20 minutes.
Yeah, so it's this, like, waste of 20 minutes that you already know happens. They've gone over this in the show. It's essentially there for those audience members that have never watched Digimon, so our parents.
Right. Yeah, the parents that have to go with the kids to the movies because... kids can't bring themselves. Yes.
It's not that it's, as Alex said, it's not that it's bad. It's just, as a viewer of Digimon, I already knew that
you
it happened.
Know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's just regurgitating information. A lot of movies have to do that for TV shows, where they just, the beginning section has to get people caught up because they're expecting there's going to be some percent of the audience that doesn't know what it's going into.
Totally.
Yeah. And then, so after they do that 20 minutes, they go into Digimon Adventure Our Game, which is actually, it's really good.
Yeah, Our War Game is, in particular, like, the best part of the movie, and I think it's the least cut of all of them. I've watched the original in Japanese, like, the full cut of it. It's really good. The director liked it so much, he basically just took it and made a whole nother movie using the general plot of it, called Summer Wars, that I need to watch.
Yeah, so... the general idea of the, well, the whole Digimon movie also uses this device of this American Digigestant named, Willis?
Yeah, Willis.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. His name's Willis, and they sort of take a really loose thread and they string it through. So Our War Game in the Japanese version has no connection besides that it's the same characters that are going through it. It's just like the next adventure they go on. But within it, at the very beginning of the original adventure, they say, also, at the same time we got our Digidestin, Willis got his Digidestin, and they, like, shoot to this, like, black and white shot of Willis in order to, like, establish him, and then they never talk about him again in Digimon Adventure, and then Digimon Adventure Our War Game, the evil Digimon is that Willis loved his Digimon so much he wanted a third Digimon, because he has two. So he wanted a third, so he created this Digimon that ended up being a virus Digimon that comes and he tries to, like, destroy the internet and releases a nuclear bomb on Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's essentially the plot, right?
Yeah, no, it's, like, weirdly hardcore. He just immediately goes to nuking Japan.
That's super hardcore.
Especially for, you know, a Japanese film.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. That's dark, Alex.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a horrible thing that happened to them in the past, and they did it again in this children's movie.
Yeah, they're like, here, this is something now for children.
Yeah, okay. Didn't think about that, World War II history over here. Apologies if trigger warning to our Japanese listeners. And then so they also just edited at the end of Our War Games when they defeat the virus. Like, literally, Omnimon cuts this Digimon right in the head. And you just hear the virus Digimon go, Willis.
Yike.
Yeah. Although, we're skipping, one thing you're skipping over just in Our War Game is the introduction of Omnimon is super cool. Like, it's just one of the coolest moments in the entire movie when it shows up.
Yeah, he's like the mixture of War Greymon and War Garurumon.
Metal.
Metal Garurumon, sorry, which is Matt and Ty's Pokemon, respectively. We're geeking out over here, Alex. Calling us out.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful.
But once
thing.
Again, the English dub ruins it because Kari, they use Kari because she's the only one that plays a main role in all three films as the narrator. She narrates when Ty goes through the computer screen into the digital world and they create War Omnimon. Like, she narrates it, and it's supposed to be this like really like emotional moment where like their emotional connection allows him to transport worlds, but she has a stupid narration. There's so much narration in this movie of exposition because they just cut so much and they had to explain things for the people that don't know Digimon. But also, like, this is a move
that's always the worst.
It's also like in the first one they have a giant egg come from the sky, so I think the audience has suspended their disbelief enough that Ty can go through a TV screen or a computer screen, sorry,
yeah,
into the digital world.
Well, do you remember how we learned this when we covered the great M. Night Shyamalan
masterpiece
disaster? Disasterpiece. Yeah, we learned that the too much exposition kills everything. It's just bad. It's bad, lazy writing.
Bad, lazy writing.
Bad, lazy writing.
Yeah, is there anything more about Digimon Adventure Our War Game that you would like to mention, Alex?
No, there's like some funny bits throughout the movie that get cut in the original Japanese. Matt is like constantly searching for a computer because he's out in the country where there's only old people who don't have computers. So it's like this constant struggle to find a computer. I think the end one is he's just using a convenience store computer or something. Which is just kind of funny. And there's also a lot of technical issues throughout it. Like, the characters have it. And, like, some of that gets cut. Some of it's still there. It's some decent comedy.
There is some decent comedy in the American dub funny. Because Izzy drinks Ty's mom's beef jerky juice and then has to go to the bathroom because of it. And in the Japanese dub, it's just that he randomly has to go to the bathroom, but they try to explain this in the American dub by saying it's this beef jerky juice, which sounds absolutely repulsive.
Well, I believe in Japanese he's just drinking oolong tea, and he's just drinking so much of it throughout the movie. He's constantly drinking it. Then in the end he just has to go to the bathroom because he drank too much.
Interesting. Well, okay, little difference between American humor and Japanese humor.
American humor needs to have the gross out factor.
I would also like to talk about the final film, which is Digimon Adventure 2, Digimon Hurricane Landing and Transcendent Evolution. Yeah, so as I said, they cut 30 minutes out of this film, and the amount of continuity issues in this film are redonkulous.
Cannot imagine.
There are shots where Digimon just change evolutions between cuts because it's just, there was no continuity taken. There's this one, a lot of the emotional depth is taken out of the film because there's this one famous shot where, I forget, what's the character's name? The new leader of the new team.
Davis.
Yes, Davis is in tears because of Willis's story, and then Willis goes, oh, like, but it's my story, you don't have to be sad. And he goes, okay, and he's fine because they cut out him like coming to and being like okay with the story, and they were just like, oh, kids will be fine with like this snap of emotional togetherness that comes from
kids will be fine with the jump. They'll
kids won't
along.
notice.
It's like
kids won't notice that
Archangemon
is like up in the sky creating the golden digi eggs, and then 2 seconds later he's Patamon again. Yeah, they're okay with that.
Oh, kids won't notice. They don't
they
know
also
anything.
Cut like the main reason for the plot. So it's supposed to be that Willis's Pokemon because of this virus Pokemon. Oh my god, I did it. I called Pokemon Digimon. Everyone's gonna come for me. Read me to filth, Alex. Read me to filth.
Yeah, no. As soon as you said that, I died a little inside, you know?
I'm sorry.
You should be.
I am.
Wow.
Oh, I'm gonna create a whole YouTube apology video for this.
I think you have
or
to.
Or maybe Carly could just edit it out? No, don't do it. Audience, read me to filth on the Instagram page.
Read Eric to filth. Read Eric to filth. It was bound to happen to one of us. I thought it was going to be
In the American version of this movie, they, of course, the whole premise is this Willis character, he's created this virus Digimon. Now, the virus Digimon has died, but the same virus within him has now affected one of his two twin Digimon. And so, that isn't really what happens in the Japanese version. In the Japanese version, he just has a virus for some reason. In the Japanese version, he's infected by this virus, and he's picking off the original Digigestion one at a time, and he's bringing them to America because that's where Willis is. And so the Digidestined from 02 have to go save the Digidestined of 01. Yes, this is getting confusing. However, they decided to cut this whole plot device from the American version, so the 01 Digidestined don't even make an appearance in the third film within this one Digimon film.
Right.
Yeah, no, they had to remove a lot. And, oh, that's why they originally wanted Tai to narrate the entire movie, but then they realized that he's not in the third act, so they did Kari instead.
Yeah, so they also, in the narration, they're like, me, Kari, and my friend TK, we've gone to America to visit our friend Willis. And that's the whole reason why they go to America. But in the original Japanese, it's because her brother and all their friends have been kidnapped by this virus evil Digimon. So that's why they go. But that's not in the Japanese version because they are in the American version because they cut it for time. And it's even confusing. If you look, we're literally looking at the poster right now, and they have all the 01 Digigestion in their more adult teenaged forms on the top in screens because that's how they get kidnapped. But that's not in the film. None of those characters appear in the film in that form, in their more adult form. They're only in their original 01 forms. So it is very confusing. So yeah. What else is... I haven't got into the best part of this film.
No. Please, no. Don't mention it. Don't bring it up. I don't want to talk about that.
The Angela Anaconda opening to this film. Yes. Included in the original runtime of the film, not just for the DVD, in the theatrical release, Fox loved this Canadian TV show called Angela Anaconda that appeared on Teletoon in Canada and on Fox Kids in the States. Angela Anaconda was such a big hit to Fox that they were like, we are going to put a 10-minute opening short of Angela Anaconda in the Digimon movie, in which Angela Anaconda goes to the Digimon movie and fantasizes about killing her classmate Ninny Poo, that's what she calls her, a Nanette Manoir, as a Digimon.
It's terrible. I've read a number of stories online of people as a kid who left the theater because they thought they went to the wrong movie.
Oh, there's this famous story. I think it's been debunked, but this famous story of a kid whose parents were thinking about getting a divorce, and they took the kid to the Digimon movie. He saw that the opening thing was Angela Anaconda, thought that they took him to the wrong movie, and he threw a tantrum, and they decided to get a divorce. It's this urban legend. So this short film,
such a good urban legend.
This short film of Angela Anaconda ruined marriages. It destroyed families.
It destroyed childhoods. It was a mess.
Yeah, I've also read that story online. I'm assuming it's fake, as most things are, but it is still funny anyway.
Well, how could you mistake it? The first thing they say in it, we're so excited to go to the Digimon movie. Like, they talk about the Digimon movie the first thing they do in the Angela Anaconda sketch. But this is, like, this was something that, like, the Fox execs wanted in the film. They were like, we are going to cut 40 minutes of this movie out, plot devices, like, things that are required for the audience to understand this. But you know what we'll replace it with to make it better? We'll use that runtime for an Angela Anaconda short.
Yeah, it was a great decision. Everyone loved it.
You heard it here first, folks. Alex said everybody loved it, including him. Yeah, so I hope you all enjoyed that down memory road of Angela Anaconda. However, we have to talk briefly about the Digimon soundtrack, because it is pretty incredible. However, used in a really bad way. So yeah, the whole film ends with All-Star, because Digimon don't really die, so the bad Digimon, who's actually just infected by a virus, he comes back without the virus, and he comes back singing a new tune, and they play All-Star.
Yeah, no, it was great. He's dancing to All-Star at the end, and it's terrible, and I hate it.
Alex, this was supposed to be a retake, so you were supposed to pretend that you didn't know what All-Star was. You didn't talk about Smash Mouth.
Well, now I know what All-Star is. That you mentioned it. I don't know anything about Smash Mouth either. They did the Shrek song, right?
Yeah, which is also All-Star.
Yep.
I forgot that's also All-Star.
It's the same song, yeah.
I know it is the Shrek song, okay?
It's the song all along.
They also had Rockefeller Skank by Fatboy Slim. Right about now. The Rome Show, brother. That one was in the film. There's also, I believe, Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. 1 week since you looked at me.
This is so indicative of what this was. It's like, it's so yeah. The hottest.
What is it?
The
one that's like
really.
The chicken, the Chinese chicken, da 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 da, and with him, da 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 da. Yeah,
yeah.
That's in there, but it's all used in like the worst way. Oh, that's... and of course, any like epic moment in the film, rather than using good music, like good background, like epic music, they use.
Your screen blanked out. They use the digi rap.
Yes, the Digirap. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Yeah,
I mean, that was mostly the transformation theme in the TV show, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, yeah, they use that instead of using any, like, good background music that, like, creates this, like, epic vibe. But instead, they just use the Digirap. Also, you have to, in the credits, they have the Digirap. And rather than doing anything cool with the credits, they have PNG images of the Digimon just bouncing around the screen. Like, flat. Like, not animated. Not doing anything.
Oh, no. Like a Windows screensaver from 1998.
One of the... Sorry, we're just laughing because I keep shoving the mic in my brother's face to say stuff, and he's like, I don't have anything to say.
It's so funny. It's
what do you have
so
to say about
funny.
That, Alex?
I don't know. It's the ending credit. I don't really care what the
end It was the opening credit.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said ending. Yeah, that is pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, the opening credit, the first thing that you
That's
see.
Great.
It's sorry. Lies. Wait, it does the Angela Anaconda opening and then PNG images with credits.
Yeah, no, this is a weird Frankenstein monster of a movie that clearly did not get enough attention.
You are very right. That's a good way of putting it, a Frankenstein movie. Yeah, so I think that pretty much finishes it off. I think the saddest part about this is that Digimon was, as much as it was a television show that was really made to sell toys, it wasn't made for, like, artistic achievement, but what makes it really sad is that the creative team behind Digimon, when they had to create the show, really worked hard. The Digimon Adventure is actually really good and deals with some really big themes about divorce and family and friendship. It's actually a pretty good anime for, like, for children. And they do it. They put a lot of work in trying to put some life, some soul behind something that was like a soulless advertisement to sell toys. But this movie really shows that it is just capitalism at its finest.
Yeah, no, Digimon, in comparison to Pokemon, I always thought it had a better anime overall. Like, its show was actually pretty good just standing on its own. Whereas Pokemon had a much better multimedia franchise. Like, it did everything else better than Digimon, but specifically the show and probably these individual movies in their, like, original forms are better than most things that Pokemon has.
Yeah, it is important to say these movies are not bad movies. They're just a bad movie as a whole.
Yeah, pretty much. The way they stitched it together and cut it is atrocious. And if you're going to watch it, I recommend watching the original Japanese forms.
For sure, for sure. Okay, well, I think we're going to end it there when it comes to talking about Digimon. We always like to end our... sure. Unless you have anything else to say, Carly or Alex...
There's one thing in the Digimon movie that I was always, as a kid, Willis's, like, evil Digimon in the third act, they generally just call it Kokomon, which is its first form, and I always wanted to know what its evolved form is actually called. I have looked it up. It is, the first, like, evolved form it has is Wendigomon, which most kids would not know what a Wendigo is, so that's an interesting choice. And then the final one is, like, in English, it's, like, Kirbymon or something. But I think it's supposed to be, like, Kyuubi or, like a Cupid, like a cherub.
Oh, cool. Cool fun facts. I have never thought about that. But it's... No, you're right. It is interesting that they don't mention that. Because Digimon has a bit of a lore in terms of, like, what... Digimon evolve into other Digimon and stuff, and that they kind of have split evolutions, and this is super nerdy, but yeah, we have all of that.
We love it.
All right, well, let's end it off by talking about our pop picks. Carly, do you have any pop picks for us?
Oh gosh, oh golly, well, my pop pick for the week is is gonna be a TV show that I watched the whole second season of. It's so funny. I watched it in, like, a one afternoon sitting by accident with Cecilia on the weekend.
Can I guess what it is?
Sure.
Is it Never Have I Ever?
No, it's not. It's called I Think You Should Leave.
Nice.
It's season two of I Think You Should Leave. I mean, they're short episodes. It's like seven episodes, but, like, past guest, Powell of the Pod, Cecilia O'Grady, never sits still for, like, more than an hour. And we sat on the couch and watched all of it this weekend. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
It made me laugh so much. Yeah, it's a great sketch show. If you're looking for one...
Alex, what would you recommend to our audience as pop picks? And that can be anime, it can be a video game, it can be anything cool like that. Any Japanese music you're listening to, anything cool.
Well, okay, mine is actually on topic because it's something that I don't think a lot of people know. Pokemon has a lot of video games. It's primarily technically a video game series. Like, that's how it started and that's how it's continuing. Digimon has never had the same success in terms of video games, but there is a relatively recent Digimon game. Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth is excellent, and it's actually, I would say, it's better than pretty much most Pokemon game that are out.
Oh.
Especially the modern ones. Outside of maybe, like, the roster size, just because Pokemon has, like, a huge amount of creatures and Digimon has a little less so, I think it kind of blows them out of the water. And you can generally get it packaged with its sequel in, like, a two-for-one kind of thing. Highly recommend. It's great.
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah, we love that on topic.
We do.
I'm going to drop one fun fact before I give my pop picks. Pokemon is the highest grossing franchise out of all franchises in the world. Beats Harry Potter, Star Wars, Marvel, all of those.
There we go. Bing, bang, boom, baby.
Yep, that's my little fun fact. And my pop pick is,
tell us.
And it might be a slightly controversial, but I'm gonna say you should give it a chance, is I went to the movie theaters yesterday and I saw In the Heights. And it was... extremely beautiful, and I know there's been some controversy about it because people feel like there wasn't enough Afro-Latino representation in the film, and I would argue just go watch it, even though it's not perfect. It is trying to be a progressive film. It is trying with progressive casting. It's not perfect. It isn't perfect, but there are millions of fully white films out there that are not even trying. At least In the Heights tried somewhat to be progressive and cast real Latinos in roles for Latinos. And yes, they could have cast a more diverse range of Latino people, but there are black people in the film in leading roles. They're just not playing the Latino characters. So I don't know. People can come for me if they disagree with me on that, and I totally understand it. I totally understand the criticism, and I do agree that they could have done it better, but they did try, and I do think we're attacking the wrong people if we're attacking In the Heights. So go see it, because it is a good film. They did a really good job, and the singing is incredible. The dancing, oh, the club scene is incredible. The dancing in the club scene, oh my goodness, it's so good. Yeah. That is my pop pick.
Love it.
Any final thoughts, Alex? Where can people find you? Oh, wait, you don't have social media.
Yeah, no, you generally can't find me, and that's the way I want it, so.
Any final thoughts?
These are good movies from my childhood. I like them a lot. I think both franchises are both pretty strong and worth checking out.
Nice. Did you enjoy being on the pod?
It was all right.
There you have it, folks. Come on the pod.
Yes,
it's all right.
It's all right. Well, thanks, Alex, for joining us.
All right. Yeah, thanks for joining us. And we're going to end it here. Thanks for coming to Before There Were Hashtags. You can find us on Instagram. And yeah, give us a like, give us
That's
a comment,
right.
Give us a five stars review. Helps other people
Great
find
review,
the pod.
Like us, and, share a pod with your pals.
Shout out to our listeners in Warsaw, Poland.
As always, thank you. Thank you.
And good night. See you later. Bye.
Bye.